Welcome to the Love Reaching Community's Sermon of the Week. For more information pertaining to the life of the church, please visit our website at lrcchurch.co.za.
Good day, friends. It's so good to be with you today. I almost want to say this morning, but it's so good to be with you today. And I'm really excited to share with you what God has put on my heart. And I hope that you take heed to this word, and I really pray that God will convict our hearts as we hear this word, because I really feel that this word is timely and this is something that every single one of us has to hear. Today I'll be talking about the incredible story of Daniel. He's probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I just love the book of Daniel and the prophecies and the visions that he got. I just find it fascinating. But the story of Daniel starts when the Babylonians have invaded Jerusalem. They have besieged Jerusalem, and the king ordered that some of the young boys from the royal families be brought in so that they could be trained and serve in the king's palace. Now, the crazy thing is that before the Babylonians came to besiege Jerusalem, there were a lot of prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, that prophesied and said to the people, if you do not repent, I am going to come and destroy you. And these guys didn't want to listen. And these prophets over and over again prophesied, if you do not repent from your sins and follow me, I will come in and destroy you. And after a while, they didn't like these prophets of doom. And so they killed the prophets because these prophets just kept bringing them a bad report. And so they didn't want to listen, and the Babylonians came in to besiege Jerusalem. And so Daniel is in exile. He is in Babylon, where he's being trained up to serve the king. And at this time, Daniel was about 15, 16 years old. And this must have been a really terrifying time for Daniel, because he was separated from his parents. He was taken out of his home, and he was put into a whole new world. A whole new world. And if that song is stuck in your head, you're welcome. But what stood out about Daniel is that instead of turning his back on God, he chose to separate himself in God, and he chose to worship and reverently fear God, instead of just going with whatever was there in the day. Because the Babylonians were a godless nation, a pagan nation that didn't have any regard for God. And so it would have been easy for Daniel to just walk away from God, because in that moment he could have felt like God has forsaken him, and he could have just walked away from God. But from a young age, Daniel resolved in his heart that I will not defile myself with the things, with the culture of Babylon, but I will choose to walk in the ways of God. And this morning, before I carry on, I want to ask you a very important question. When everything in life goes haywire, when everything goes wrong, when the pawpaw hits the fan, what is the one thing that is keeping you from walking away from God? This is a very important question, and I really want you to consider this even after listening to this preach. What is the one thing that is keeping you from walking away from God? I really believe that we are in a time where God is busy sifting the people, where he's separating those who truly follow him from those who only say that they are following Jesus, from those who truly submit to Jesus, from those who don't submit to him. I really believe that God is drawing a line in the sand, and he's telling you to choose which side do you want to be on. I believe that as the end time draw near, there will be a clear divide between those who truly follow him and those who don't. And we need to choose which side do we want to be on. And I find it fascinating because we are never confronted with these choices and with these issues when things are going well. It's always when it's the most inconvenient times that we are confronted with these choices and with these issues, because that is the time that truly reveals what's going on in your heart. And that is exactly what God is after. He's after your heart. He's not after your good works that looks like you are a good Christian. He's after your heart and seeing what is the thing that is truly in your heart. And when we find ourselves in this pressure, it reveals a couple of things about us. It reveals who we truly fear and worship, what or who we trust in, and how firm is our salvation. How confident are you to stand before God one day? So the first thing that I want to talk about is, who do you truly fear and worship? There's a saying that says that if you squeeze an orange, then orange juice comes out. But if you squeeze the orange and something else comes out, then it must not be an orange. And in the beginning of the book of Daniel, we see how Daniel is squeezed. We see how when he got brought in from Jerusalem into exile, they were given food from the king's table. And Daniel, it said that Daniel resolved in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's food. And so what he did was he approached the chief of the eunuchs to ask him if he could eat vegetables rather than the king's food. And by doing that, he actually put his life on the line. The chief eunuchs replied to him, "If you are found out worse off than any of the other people, then my head is on the line and so is yours." But Daniel feared God more than what he feared the king and the culture around him. And then we see later in chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm sure most of you guys know that story, where some of the Chaldeans were jealous of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they tried to trap them so that they could get rid of them. And what these guys did was they made a decree that if they play any instruments, that everybody has to stop what they're doing and bow their knee to a golden image and worship the golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just refused to do that. And so the accusers went to the king and said, "King, did you not sign a decree that when people hear these instruments that they have to stop what they're doing and worship you? But yet there are some people from the exiles of Israel that refused to bow their knee to you." And the king got furious. The king sent for people to get these guys. And when the king confronted them about why they didn't worship, these guys didn't shrink back in shame and say, "Oh, we're so sorry, king." No, this was their response. And we read it in chapter 3, verse 12, or chapter 3, verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not," and I love this, "but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And when these people got squeezed, it was a reverent fear and worship for God that came out of them. They never, never compromised on that. And as you can imagine, this this made the king really mad. And the king commanded them to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And we know how the story ends, how God delivers them out of a fiery furnace. And I love just the way that the king's heart got turned around. The king responded by their God rescued them. And he made a decree all over Babylon to every city, nation, tribe, language. He said in verse 29, he made a decree and said, "Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be laid ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. And may we always be reminded, if God can do this in the Old Testament, won't He do so much more for us, His children, in the New Testament, when we submit, walk in the fear of God, and truly worship Him? This morning, I want us to reflect on this, and I want us to ask ourselves, what is your response when the heat gets turned up? Do you compromise on your relationship with God? Or do you stand firm in God, even if it means that you lose everything in your life, your family, your friends, your finances, your house? Do you stand firm in God? Do you hold on to Jesus because He is your hope? Or do you hold on to Jesus because it is just convenient right now until something better comes along? A couple of weeks ago, I heard this analogy from Ray Comfort, which convicted my heart in a massive way. This analogy I found so profound and so timely, especially in today's day and culture. And I want to read it to you. It says, two men are seated in a plane. A stewardess gives the first man a parachute and instructs him to put it on, as it will improve his flight. Not understanding how a parachute could possibly improve his flight, the first passenger is a little skeptical. Finally, he decides to see if the claim is true. After strapping on the parachute, he notices a burdensome weight, and he has difficulty sitting upright. Consoling himself with a promise of a better flight, our first passenger decides to give it a little time. Because he's the only one wearing a parachute, some of the other passengers begin smirking at him, which only adds to his humiliation. Unable to stand it any longer, our friend slumps in his seat, unstraps the parachute, and throws it to the floor. Disillusionment and bitterness fills his heart because, as far as he's concerned, he was told a lie. Another stewardess gives the second man a parachute but listens to her instructions. She tells him to put it on because at any moment he will be making an emergency exit out of a plane at 25,000 feet. Our second passenger gratefully straps on the parachute. He doesn't notice the weight upon his shoulders or the fact that he can't sit upright. His mind is consumed with the thought of what would happen to him if he jumped without it. When other passengers laughed at him, he thinks, you won't be laughing when you are falling to the ground. See, if we have strapped on Jesus for the purpose of having a comfortable, nice, pleasant life, we will find Jesus to be a burdensome weight on our shoulders. Because Acts 14 verse 22 says, with many tribulations, we have to enter the kingdom of God. But if we put Jesus on because we know we owe our life to Him, because without Him we will go to eternal hell, then we will find Jesus to be our peace and our comfort in the midst of our storms. Even if it means that we have to die for the sake of the gospel, we will have peace because we know where we are going. I think it must be the worst thing to lie on your deathbed and not knowing whether your life is right with God or not, and to have so much shame that you might not even end up repenting. So many people are falling away from God at all over the world at an alarming rate. It's crazy. So many people worship leaders denying their faith because we have been preaching a man-centered gospel that says, come to Jesus and your life will be amazing. Come to Jesus and you will have this blessing and you will have that blessing, instead of preaching a God-centered gospel that said, this is what we need to do to live for God and to please Him. We have to understand that this life is all about God. It's not about us, what we can get out of God. God is not your genie in a bottle to just give whatever you want Him to give. Our aim in life should always be to be more Christ-like, not to have a happier, more blessed, more prosperous life. Those are only fruit from having a life submitted to God and walking in the fear and worship of God. When times are tough, is true worship something that comes out of your life, or is it grumbling and complaining? The second thing that I want to talk about that I see in the life of Daniel is that holiness is not just a requirement, it is a necessity. What made Daniel stood out was his holiness. Daniel refused to compromise on his life of holiness. And that caused two things. It caused one group of people that hated him, that constantly wanted to get rid of him. And in the other camp, he had God, which was so well pleased with him. He had so much favor from God because of that, because of his lifestyle of holiness. And unfortunately, we can't have both. We can't have people that loves us and walk in holiness and please God. We will always have persecution when we choose to walk in holiness and walk in a relationship with God. And if we are not experiencing that persecution, we need to ask ourselves, are we really walking in holiness? Are we really set apart from the world? Or are we actually just living exactly like the world? God never called us to live like the world. He called us to be a set apart people. And Daniel was so much favored from God that God gave him the most incredible prophecies and visions of the coming of a Christ and of the end times. These prophecies were so clear that when Jesus was born, the people from the region where Daniel was knew exactly that the Christ is being born. We see it in early in the Gospels, where when Jesus was born, three wise men, or I don't think it says three wise men, but it said wise men from the east came to give gifts to the Messiah. And these guys were from the region of Daniel. They knew exactly when the Christ would appear, when the king would appear that would destroy all other kingdoms. And we get to be a part of that kingdom. That is how much Daniel was favored. And then we come to the story of the most famous story of Daniel. And this is where we truly see, Daniel stands out. Everybody knows the story of Daniel and the lion's den. It's probably one of the most famous stories of the book of Daniel. But Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because of his faith. Now, the people that hated Daniel because of his holiness couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. They were looking for something to accuse Daniel so that they could get rid of him. But the only thing that they could find against Daniel had to do with his religion and his relationship with God. So what these guys did was they made the king sign a document that said, you are not allowed to worship any other god for the next 30 days. And they knew that they would be able to catch Daniel out with this. And so when Daniel found about this document, he immediately went into his upper room that faced Jerusalem to pray to God. And then these accusers ran to the king and said, King, did you not sign this document that said, if anybody worships any other god in the next 30 days, then they must be thrown into the lion's den. And what I find so beautiful is that Daniel and the king had such a beautiful relationship that when the king heard this, he was so distressed. It said that in the evening, he couldn't sleep. He fasted all night long because he was in distress of Daniel. And so after they threw Daniel in the pit, and the king came to the pit the next morning and said, Daniel, he shouted out, Daniel. And Daniel said, King, do not fear. I am near. Not in those words. It's nice when it rhymes. But Daniel says, do not fear. I am here. My God protected me. And this was Daniel's response to the king in Daniel 6 verse 22. It says, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm. And if this doesn't do something for you, I don't know. But this is such a beautiful picture of what it looks like when we walk in holiness, when we walk blameless before God. No one can point fingers, and God is with us always. He protects us, he guides us, he leads us. And God sent his angels to shut the mouth of a lion because he was blameless before him. And how many of us can truly say that I am blameless before God? The way that I stand now, I'm standing blameless before God. When times get tough and life pressures gets the best of us, it's easy for us to make one compromise after another. You know, maybe you get pulled over by the cops and you know that you can't afford the fine. So instead of paying the fine, you bribe the cop to get off lightly. Or when you are alone, you go onto pornography sites. Regardless of what it is, do we know that without holiness, we will not be able to see God? See, Hebrews 12 verse 14 says that without holiness, we will not be able to see God. And so easy for us to make one compromise after another because in the moment, this just felt right. But when we stand before God one day, he won't understand. We sometimes think that he will just understand, you know, it was difficult for me. No, he won't. God is a holy God and he expects us to live holy lives. Now, if that verse isn't enough, when I read this verse, I was almost trembling with fear. The verse that I want to read is 2 Peter 3:11. It said, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? You see, since all of us are going to stand in front of God one day, completely exposed, all our intentions, all our motives, are we not to live holy and godly lives before God right now? Because the one day when we stand before God, we will have absolutely no excuse. May we never forget that God is not your chummy, which you can order around and expect to just give you whatever you want and need whenever you want it. That's not how God works. He is God, and he demands holiness from every single one of us who calls themselves a Christian or a child of God. There is no excuse. Thus, holiness is not just a requirement, but it's a necessity for us as Christians. Now, I've seen so many videos before where preachers hypes up the crowd. You know, God is going to do this for you. God is going to do that for you. He's going to bless you. Breakthroughs around the corner. Just hang on to God. But suddenly we hear what God requires of us. You see, true breakthrough comes when we live holy lives. True breakthrough comes when we walk humbly before God. True breakthrough comes when we walk in the fear of God. And I wish that this will grip our hearts, that there's no method to us having a blessed life. The method is, well, there is a method. The method is walk in the fear of God. Submit yourself to God. Worship God. And I want to end with this verse, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. You know, for a long time we've been praying for revival. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us. And we pray these prayers as if God is withholding revival. But the reason we are not experiencing revival is not because of God, it's because of us. Because God instructs us, he says, repent of your sins, seek my face, humble yourself, and I will come and I will heal your land. I will hear your prayers. And are we doing those things? The only thing that we should be concerned about is pleasing God, not God pleasing us. God didn't bring us into the world to serve and please us. God brought us into the world to fulfill his purposes and his design. So may our heart break for what breaks his. May we not take his commandments lightly. Friends, I can't tell you how convicted I am by the fact that we need to live holy lives. I fear and I dread the day that I have to stand before God on Judgment Day, and having all my sins and all my works and actions exposed before him, and not having any excuse, because none will be valid. I dread that day, and all I want to do is just live for God as best as I can. Give my everything to him, because at the end of the day, nothing matters. If I have to live in a shack for the rest of my days, it doesn't matter, as long as I am right with God, as long as I'm right standing with God, as long as God is pleased with me, that's the only thing that matters for me. May we seek God's face so that he may come and heal our land. I want to just end off with this quick recap. The first thing that we spoke about is, do we truly fear and worship God? What does your life look like? Can people see the true reverent fear and awe of God in your life? When you get squeezed by the pressures of life, is worship and the fear of God something that comes out of your life, or is it grumbling and complaining? The second thing is, holiness is not just a requirement, it's a necessity. How do we conduct our lives when no one is watching? Do we live in a way that is actually pleasing to God, or does God despise our lifestyles? Are we separated from the world, or does our lives look exactly like the world? Because I can tell you, if your life does look exactly like the world, God is not pleased with you. And there will be wrath and fury waiting for you. And this morning, I want us to pray together. I want us to repent of our sins and ask God's forgiveness, because we all have offended God with our sins. Romans 1 makes it clear that there's no one that is not guilty. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. And if we don't have Jesus on our backs, we will be lost. Jesus is not there to make our lives comfortable, but he's there to save us, to seek and to save us. And this is what I felt God say to us this morning. And I really pray and I hope that you take heed to this word, that there's a massive sifting taking place all across the world, where God is separating those who truly follow him from those who only say that they follow him. And I plead with you, follow Jesus, live for him, conduct your life in a way that is honoring and pleasing to him. Do not finish this message and just go on with your normal life, going on with your normal things that you do. But if there's something in your life that you need to change, please, please, please do that. We don't want to stand in front of God one day and be completely ashamed and naked. So let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you for today, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your words. And Lord Jesus, I first of all just want to ask forgiveness, Lord, for my sins, Lord, for my wicked ways, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, please forgive me for the times, Lord Jesus, that I haven't walked in your ways, the times, Lord Jesus, where I haven't taken careful attention to your word and to what you require of us. And I want to ask you right now, where you're sitting at home, don't you want to speak to God as well and ask him for forgiveness? Right there where you are sitting. Lord, please forgive us of our sins, of our transgressions, Lord. And I want to encourage you that this morning, if you realize that you are so in need of God's grace, you are so in need of Jesus' sacrifice, because there's no other way that we will be right before God, I want to encourage you to ask Jesus to come into your life. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will come into my life, Lord Jesus. Pray that you will come and change my life, Lord. May my life reflect your godliness. May my life reflect your nature, Lord. Ask him right now to come into your life and to come and change your life. Tell him that, Lord, we repent right now and we turn from our wicked ways. And we choose from this day on to serve you and to serve you alone, because there's only one God, and that's you. And we worship you, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a powerful message this morning. I'm personally convicted about just living lives that are holy. We know that it's like Duan mentioned, it's easy to compromise, but God requires holiness from each and every one of us. And if you perhaps have made the prayer this morning and invited Jesus into your heart, we want to encourage you to make contact with us. Get in contact with us. There'll be a number that will be displayed afterwards. Call us, send us a WhatsApp. We'd love to stand with you in prayer. We'd love to encourage you. We'd love to walk a journey of discovering the beauty and the richness and the grace of God with you. That's all that we have for this week. Don't forget, we have Fresh Air Sunday. Come and join us later. And home groups will be happening this week. And we just pray for God's amazing blessing, providence, and joy over your life. Have an exceptional week. God bless.